Do you like what we do? Well, let me introduce you to Friends of NEAR. This is a way for you to support the great work of NEAR Media Co-op, which we here at NEAR think will give friends and family the chance to actively support the community media work we just love doing. Joining is easy, and you can find out more at near.ie/friends or by email to friends@near.ie. There's a few T's and C's, but only a few. Promise. Go on. Let's be friends.
Now, in studio, we have Siobhan Walls from the Humanist Association of Ireland. And Siobhan is a humanist celebrant. Good morning, Siobhan. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely delighted. Siobhan, can we start off by tell us exactly what is humanism?
Humanism is, I suppose you describe it as like an ethical life stance, I suppose. It's an approach to life. Humanists, in generally speaking, would not believe in a god or a supernatural power. They would not believe in an afterlife. But what they very much do believe in is leading a good and ethical life. But they believe that values to do that can be found within humans themselves. So it is a way of life, about living a good life, without reference to the supernatural. It's about understanding the world through science and the evolution of the creativity, I suppose, of everything.
I once heard humanism described as a religion without God.
Yes, that is one way of putting it, precisely. Yeah. But I suppose the important thing is that it's about finding meaning in life and values for life within humans themselves, without needing to reference outside of humans or beyond humans.
I wonder, it's not necessarily a religion, it's a philosophy.
Yes.
Of life.
Yes.
Yes. It's a bit like Buddhism.
Yes.
Or even Hinduism without the gods.
Yes. Yeah.
I would say yes if I knew exactly what Hinduism was. I understand, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
Nobody knows.
I mean in the fact I have not educated myself on Hinduism.
Well, I would be the same. I couldn't profess to know other than there's more than one God, unlike most religions.
Exactly.
That
yes.
we're more familiar with here.
Yes.
Hinduism has several gods.
Abrahamic religions, like or Muslims or Jewish or Christian, yes, mm-hmm. but they are philosophies. But humanism is beyond that or outside these.
Yes,
isn't that what you're
yes.
saying?
I mean, you described it, Michael. You said I've heard it described as a religion without a god, and yes, that is a simple way of putting it.
Yeah.
But it is precisely about not being a religion as well.
Yeah.
But it's very much not anti-religion.
Yes.
I mean, in terms of the Humanist Association, and in Ireland and elsewhere. But specifically in Ireland, I would be familiar with, it's about looking for equal treatment within our, within our daily lives, in our schools, in our hospitals, in all aspects of life. It's about looking for equal treatment.
Nature as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is nature, but I suppose I'm talking more about our society. It's about, historically in Ireland, our society does not treat people of no religion equally.
Oh yes,
with those who have religion.
Yeah. So. But would you not? They might call you pagans, wouldn't they? There's the idea of, I mean, paganism. It's very connected. I mean, paganism is probably the historical.
Again, means. I couldn't profess to know about it, but I think paganism certainly. You mentioned earlier that I was a celebrant, which I am also.
Yeah.
And I know that there is a pagan organisation in Ireland who can marry people.
Yeah.
And they are registered as a religion.
Yeah. Yes. Well, paganism is a religion because they believe in God. Well, if you define a religion by, that do you believe in a God or not? But paganism believes in a God as in the in nature being a God.
Yes.
But I was very interested. I did a little bit of homework.
Okay.
Very little, I have to say. The Amsterdam Declaration.
Yes.
And that kind of sets out some, we say, overarching guidelines.
Yes.
for humanism. Maybe tell us a little bit, what is the Amsterdam Declaration?
You've got me there now, Michael, in my homework, I didn't print it out in front of me, but what it is, sorry.
I wonder you're thinking about human rights.
No. This is specifically to do with humanism. I mean, I'm familiar with it in a broad sense, but I couldn't quote from it now, for example.
No. I'm not asking you to quote, but
no,
just,
in a broad sense, it's where...
What's the idea of it?
Several international humanist organisations got together, and what they were trying to do was come up with a formal definition. One of the things about humanists, I suppose, is they are by nature, they tend to be independent thinkers. And so, therefore, you're probably going to get as many definitions of humanism as you meet people who call themselves humanists. They will all vary slightly in how they describe it, and there are no absolute strict rules. I shouldn't say that, because there are some general understandings about what humanism is, as opposed to rules, and that is what the Amsterdam Declaration in 2002, what they tried to do. So they got together all of these people from humanist organisations around the world, they had a conference and they worked their way through, and they came up with an agreed description of humanism, which is more or less what I was describing there a little while ago, about leading a good and ethical life without reference to the supernatural or a higher power. It's about understanding this world that we live in and our existence through science and through an understanding of evolution.
You mean it's the fundamental principles of humanism? Like all humanists would believe in fundamental principles of humanism.
Yes. And that's what the Amsterdam Declaration was trying to do, was actually put a sort of a tie down, a description.
I read some of them. I actually have them here straight in front of me, and I was very impressed with it, I have
yes,
to say.
Yes, it is. It is.
It is 1, 2, 3, 4. It's about 7 or 8 different principles. It's quite it fit on an A4
yes,
sheet
indeed,
of paper.
Yeah. Yeah, and it describes it very succinctly.
But I think as something, as you said earlier, that humanists are a broad thinking, a wide range
exactly.
of different opinions.
Yes,
and as I said, this is a very overarching, but gives kind of broad parameters of what humanism is. And I have to say, I was very impressed with one of the points in it, which talks about the importance of the arts within humanism, you know, and the development of human beings.
Yes, and an appreciation of life and what it is to be human through the arts,
It's an art, isn't it?
Yes.
Being human.
I beg your pardon?
It's an art to be human.
Well, there is that too, yes. Yeah.
The other thing I was going to ask you is, within humanism, and particularly here in Ireland, what are the different services that are available? You know, we see within the Catholic Church, shall we say, we'll say the different services as births, deaths and marriages.
Yes, yes. Well, we cover those three.
Yeah.
We cover those three for sure, in that we do... wedding ceremonies, that'll be what we do most of, and that we are registered solemnizers, which means now that humanist celebrants who are... Now, humanism is it doesn't belong just... The word does not belong just to the Humanist Association nor the Amsterdam Declaration. Anybody can choose to use that word. But celebrants who are accredited and who've gone through training with the Humanist Association of Ireland are registered marriage solemnizers, which means that they can marry people legally. So there's that. Now, in death and... birth, there's obviously no legal aspect. Well, obviously certificates, but they are taken care of by the state registrars. But what we do provide that would sort of mirror what the church does is we provide funeral services, which would be called a celebration of a life. And we provide naming or welcoming ceremonies that people would have. And again, at the start you said, would you describe it as religion without God? Well, I've had people describe this as it's a christening without the religion. So what it does, it's really important. The important thing, I think, when people have a baby is they want to celebrate that baby's arrival. They want to get their family and friends together. And that's exactly what we do. We provide just a formal sort of focal point, a short ceremony, and then the family go along and they have their lunch or whatever it is they're planning to do on the day, but it allows them to get together and focus on formally naming the baby and welcoming the baby into the family and the wider community.
You know, you have rituals.
Yes.
You have a ritual. These rituals, do they hark back on the old rituals, the Irish rituals?
They can be anything. They come from all sorts of places. The rituals that people would do, the most common ritual by far that I encounter as a celebrant, both in namings and weddings, is the lighting of candles, which is very much associated with religion. But, of course, it's not exclusively
religion. It's not
religious.
Religion.
No,
it's light.
It's just, it
human
is
human beings lit a fire. Right?
Yes, exactly.
So I think it goes back...
Yeah, and that would be the most popular, I think, of any of the rituals. But people do other things. There's different traditions that have come from all sorts of backgrounds.
Fire is a good thing. Talking about fire, I'm just thinking of how humanism could contribute to the present day world where wars are rampant.
Yes, they are. And I mean, I think that is... another whole day's discussion, I think. But
it's important, very important.
It is important. Yes. I mean, I think you referred to the Amsterdam Declaration earlier there, Michael, as well, and that certainly covers about the importance of human rights and respect for humans and living with.
Actually, the human rights, Declaration of Human Rights, it's connected with humanism.
It's connected with humanism in that they're both coming from the point of view of respecting humans and, you know, equality for all, in that sense.
And also the Green Revolution, I mean, about keeping nature and not hurting nature.
Yes.
And human nature.
I mean, they are all, that is all part of being human and leading a good life, if you like. But it wouldn't be strictly humanism as opposed to anything else.
Yes. Yeah. In other words, you don't have oppositions. It's actually to blend in.
Yes. You could say,
I've been just reading down through the Declaration, and it's very much about, and actually what springs to mind me, and you're probably going to hit me for this one, is it's quite like the Quakers.
There is a similarity there,
Similarity, it's that respect for human beings and for each other.
But I mean, we can't say that the Humanist Association in Ireland, for example, is 25 years this year. So that started in 1993. There were other smaller, less formal humanist groups in Ireland before that. And in other countries, modern humanist organisations would go back longer than that. But humanism itself would go back to ancient Greece and would have been, would have been very much inspired and moved forward in during the Renaissance and the Age of Enlightenment. And in that sense, I mean, it's not like it's anything new. It's new, I suppose, in a narrower sense, in terms of society now is becoming so much more secular. So therefore, humanism is finding a new expression, but it has existed for 2,500 years.
Before ancient Greece, all those old countries had humanism. They weren't religions. It depends on how you look at religion and humanism. People can say, this is a religion, as Michael said first, because it's very hard for people to go, we are in this orbit of religions, and the way it's been conveyed to the world that this is a religion. You know, if you have a different concept, different ideas, it may not be a religion. It's a philosophy. It's very hard for people to understand what is a philosophy and a religion, because there are rituals connected with both.
Yes, and I suppose there's membership in that people would describe themselves.
Yes.
I think there would be a lot of people, and I would have been among them myself, who would be humanists, but who wouldn't have either heard of the term or understood what it meant, or they simply don't want to have a label of any sort. In an Irish context, you would have a lot of people who actually have moved away from religion who don't find any meaning in it anymore, or it's just not relevant to their lives. And if you actually described humanism for them, they'd probably say, oh yeah, that's kind of what that's I am. Me. I just never put a name to it before. And that's perfectly fine. Yeah. Nobody says you have to put a name on it. I mean, what the Humanist Association would try to do, as you asked earlier about services, I mean, but apart from ceremonies, the Humanist Association would really try to represent the non-religious to government and you know, in terms of campaigning, in terms of for education, hospitals, the blasphemy laws, oaths and affirmations, various other things like that, but in a community sense as well. We try to provide. There are a number of local groups. There's a national group that meets. Most of those groups meet once a month. And the idea is to provide a forum for people who want to meet other like-minded people so that they can chat freely. Well, but I mean, I think what you're saying is that the values of humanism are probably held by everybody. Mm. But where you draw the line is, I suppose, that most humanists, and some humanists would describe themselves certainly as agnostic, but most humanists would be atheist. And that really is one of the defining principles, that there is no belief in an afterlife and there's no belief in a God or a supernatural. And that's what would define it differently. The values of it certainly would be held by people of all religions, I'm quite sure, you know.
Mostly people, they're all Christian. I mean, you know, in Europe, or mostly majority.
Yeah, majority. Yeah,
and Christianity came from the Middle East in one sense. So they've made it their own. So they have their own ideas in it.
Yes.
But people cannot understand non-Christians, or as they were called, pagans. Anyone who was not Christian was called pagan, and seen as somebody, you know, who wasn't civilized.
Yes.
So when people, humanists came into power, they actually brought in that non-Christian way of being non-Christian.
Yes, yes.
And then I suppose all the other little sects in, this is the way I understand, I suppose.
Yeah.
Everybody understands differently. As you said, Quakers, they wanted to be Christian, but in a different way. Maybe to be more human.
Sure.
You know, instead of having an organized church.
Yes.
So there were lots of Christian little sects as well.
Yes.
Which had a humanistic attitude towards religion.
Yeah.
I say.
Yeah.
And just listening to the two of you discussing that there, and something that came to mind, and it's probably the way I think myself.
Mm.
When people talk about God, I often wonder, you know, what do they mean by God?
Sure.
I myself would fairly much agree. Well, I do agree with everything that's I see in the
Amsterdam Declaration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I would say I myself would believe that there is something else. What that else is, I have no idea. I have no idea what that something else is. But I could not, I can't get my head around the idea that we are the only beings within this universe, or this whatever you want to call it, you know, of billions upon billions of stars and galaxies. That there is other life out there, and is it a possibility that some of those other life forms have visited this planet many millions of years ago? I think it's quite possible. Do I believe it? I don't know. I don't believe it as in I'm saying it did happen. But what I am saying is it is a possibility. It could have happened. It could be. And I'm sure we will evolve. If we don't destroy ourselves in the process, we will evolve to something else, and to being out there amongst the stars. And our physical forms may change. And that we're still learning about this this world and this universe. And our thoughts are, you know, if you think of what matter is and so forth, when we think, they're electrical pulses. But those electrical pulses are in actual fact a form of matter as well.
Michael.
So I don't think you can destroy anything.
I think let's come down to earth now.
Never. I haven't been on earth since 1973, so I'm not coming back.
Now, I'm just going to ask, very practical. You were talking about blasphemy laws.
Yes.
Yes. What do you say about that? Is it political, or I shouldn't ask that question?
No. That's fine to ask, but I think it's in and Ireland is, I hope, a modern secular republic.
Yes.
And in that context, you know, we can all be respectful of each other.
Mm.
But the blasphemy laws, now there are plans, as we know, to hold a referendum to change that. I mean, among that would lead me into, I suppose, the Humanist Association. If you've ever read the Constitution, Bunraach na hÉireann, you'll know that it is. I beg your pardon?
When we are reminded.
When you are reminded, yeah. But it has, and it's of its time. It was written in the 1930s.
Mm.
Ireland, it is full of references to God. And that is making assumptions that all of the people who, you know, who live in this republic understand, you know, and agree with what God is, which is not the case. And so that will be, I mean, I've stepped away from the blasphemy thing, but it's kind of all of in the same area, that in order for all people to be treated equal, you have to remove assumptions that only people, religious people, and in this case probably people of one particular religion, adhere to. So that, I suppose, it's about having a society that allows everybody to live their life the way they wish, but while respecting others.
Do you have any say in, were you invited to any of these discussions about abortion and stuff like that?
Do you mean in the context of the, like, the Repeal the Eighth Committee that?
Yes.
Not specifically, but I know there is a group, and I'm not involved with it myself, but there is a group of volunteers within the Humanist Association who have been campaigning on that. And there would be mixed views within the Humanist Association.
Yes,
it's not an absolute across the board. Everybody doesn't have the same view. But the high level view, I suppose, would be that you know, there should be a respect for women to be able to make choices, but that the laws of the land should not be informed by religious teaching, which is historically where those laws come from, and that would be a high level position from the Humanist Association.
Is there a group of people from different religions being invited to discuss this?
I'm not aware.
No,
I'm not aware.
Pardon?
Do you know any religious people being invited to discuss about the repeal of the amendment?
The government have had a consultation period as part of the Citizens' Assembly. Prior to that meeting, there was a general consultation process that you could write in. It was only finished at just before, like a few days before they met, that anybody who wished to have their say could put in documents into the collective for to be discussed.
Consideration by the Assembly.
And that was done.
In these great state occasions, there are always people from different religions. Is there a humanist representation? I've seen priests of different, religions.
What we have done, in fact, I am I'm personally involved in one such occasion coming up. But there would often be a humanist person would be invited along for a commemoration day, say in a hospital or that sort of a situation, or a representative. There's an annual event every year to remember the war dead.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yes. Now that we haven't been invited, we've been invited as guests to that. We haven't been invited to speak at it as yet, but we were invited to have a humanist reflection at the 1916 commemorative event the year before last.
Yeah.
And there were humanist representatives spoke at an event in
Glasnevin
and elsewhere.
State function. Was it a state function?
Yes.
Yes. And you were invited, yes. Because the commemorating...
There was a humanist representative at Michael D. Higgins' inauguration also.
Yes.
So that's going back, what, 6 years?
6 years. Yeah. And just say, Lakshmi was asking about...
What did I ask?
The repeal the 8th and the humanist view on that. I did note within the Amsterdam Declaration that it does actually address... the thing of science and, you know, of, I won't call it human fertility, but the use of science. And it has to be, it has to be ethically done. And that ethics is looking at the humans and being, I'm getting tongue-tied here and looking for the word, it's at the respect for human
life,
beings
life and
for life
and for parents
and parents, yes, and that, so that is actually in there. And as I say, I'm amazed at such a short document and how much it actually covers.
Yes,
we're very practical people.
Yeah. I hope so. I hope so.
I would and we're coming up very close to the end of our time now. There's only about a minute left. I would say that I would fully endorse the fundamentals that I see in front of me here, even though I would have my own views outside.
Absolutely,
that as
well.
And from what I read here, it is very much an all-embracing, and people are allowed to have their own thoughts in mind. But if I can ask you one thing, and it's just personal interest, you have a meeting. What happens at a humanist meeting?
There would sometimes at the national meetings or at some of the bigger meetings, there's a South Dublin group that meets on the first Tuesday every month in the Royal Marine in Dunleary. The North Dublin group meets in Hedigan's in a room upstairs in Phibsborough on the third Monday of the month every evening. Generally, they would just be chats. They would have a theme that would be chosen by the coordinator in advance. Quite often the South Dublin group, it's a bigger group, it's longer established, they would have a speaker. The national group meets on the first Sunday of every month. It was, up until last month, always in Dublin, in the Ashling Hotel near Houston Station. That was to facilitate people coming from outside Dublin. It's now started to move around the country. So last month it was in Kilkenny. And the plan is that, not every month, but that several months of the year, it will be in a different location to allow it to move around the country. That's the national meeting. That's the first Sunday of every month. But information on all of these and where people can meet other people who are, you know, you don't have to join the association to go to the meetings. You can just go along. And all that information, though, is on humanism.ie. If you look that up, you'll find all of the information.
And I take it that's www.humanism.ie.
That's it.
Siobhan, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lashka.
Yes.
Download a podcast and catch up on your listening at near.ie.
Near FM.